Never.
Oh, and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring the boys. Wow. Rob, Jay, Matt, and Zach.
Dibs on...
Jack Wade.
I don't know who I want to be.
Obviously, you want to be Billy Butcher.
Someday, Jay, someday.
No, I don't.
So today, we're playing Fortnite, we're talking Alien Earth 1.6. We also have Rob's Movie Corner, but first, I want to redeem myself.
That's not possible.
Redemption Corner.
Well, I'm going to try.
Redemption Corner.
Yeah, I would like to go on a redemption arc, if you don't mind. And because last week, we had a question of the day that was, what is something you think you know more about than the other people on the call? And I panicked. I couldn't think of anything good. We said like Bollywood movies or something.
We said like nuclear weapons and like, yeah, it was a perfectly fine answer, but go ahead.
It was an answer.
I wouldn't say a perfectly fine answer.
So I have a hot take, actually. I would dare say I know more about dating than the other people on the call.
Whoa.
That's
That's
a hot take.
More than Mr. J? I don't know.
Well, let me defend my position here. So when I came back from overseas and I wanted to get serious about dating, I listened to a bunch of podcasts and read a bunch of books. And
okay, and?
And nope, that's on a bunch of dates.
And the results speak for themselves.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So that is why I feel comfortable saying that.
Wow. That's, I don't know if that... Maybe you're right, maybe you're not, but I still wouldn't call out two of my friends like that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they know a lot about dating too, but I would argue that I know a little more.
That's a bold statement.
The things Jay's seen. He'll...
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair.
Enemy attack.
That's why I said it was a hot take.
So, Shell, all right, anything else, Zach? Is it time for Rob's Movie Corner?
Yes, it is time for Rob's Movie Corner. Anyone want to go first?
All right. I've seen... Oh, poor...
Pluribus? That's not a movie.
Whatever.
A movie. I did watch that too, though. Even though I'm not the biggest Vince Gilligan guy, but I liked it.
I watched The Samaritan.
What's that?
Sylvester Stallone's 2021 movie.
Oh, where's his superhero?
Yeah, well, yeah, where a kid hopes he's a superhero, and yeah, who's like indestructible-ish.
Was there a reason you saw that movie? Because I don't think it's like well-regarded.
No, it's not at all.
Okay.
I kept seeing clips on various social media, and it was driving me crazy, so I was like, you know what?
Rob, you're under attack, Rob.
Get it out of my system.
Mm. You had to see it, though.
I did, and I did see it, and it
was... no regrets?
So many regrets. I regret my entire life after watching that.
It looked a
little... You can't say you didn't know what you signed up for.
Oh, yeah. Half of it didn't make sense. Like, the way certain transitions, like, you could definitely tell, like, they moved around some stuff in editing and they definitely cut a lot of other stuff going. So like, yeah, it was pretty funny though. I laughed a lot.
Stallone's in pure cash mode now. It's terrible.
Well, he's got to pay for all those.
He has like five daughters or whatever it is. Yeah. But like, yeah,
I have five daughters.
It's being a fiddler on the roof.
Benbull's four, Rambo five. It's just, yeah, it's not good times of the Stallone place.
So he's making the geezer teasers.
Yeah, it's not as egregious as Bruce Willis, but he had his health issues. He at least had an excuse.
Alright, okay. Are we moving out? So Rob,
yeah, we can move out. I can go next. So we've been pretty busy, but Guru and I started, we got about two-thirds of the way through a Bollywood movie. The name is too long, I don't remember, I don't care. Sorry. It's a love story. Guy comes to this Indian town and the beautiful woman doesn't like him and he's kind of a bro, but eventually they learn to love each other. And oh no, she's engaged to be married to somebody else. No.
Oh my god, it's so far away.
Did you actually like it?
I actually, you know, Guru said, are you bored? You're probably bored. I said, no, I actually kind of like it. There's a cool part where they're flying. Hey. It's like Kite Festival.
Rotate left, rotate left.
Okay. So, yeah. Kite Festival. And, yeah, they do have a Kite Festival where they're all flying kites. So, how about you, Matt? You got anything?
No, just Pluribus.
All
right. Do you like Pluribus? For the record,
I like it so far. I don't know how they're gonna. I don't know how they're gonna like stretch it out.
That's what I mean. That's what excites me in a way. Because when shows like, I'm like, I don't know how you're gonna make like four seasons of this. I'm like, well, then you really don't know where the plot's going. So it's kind of nice.
Oh crap!
Oh god!
All right, and
you were the movie.
I live the movie.
What if you were the movie? I saw. I'd say like two major-ish movies past couple weekends. I saw Predator Badlands, which I enjoyed, and it is. I mean, some people would accuse it of like the Disneyfication of Predator, and there's some truth to that because it's PG-13. There's like a cute alien creature in it, but it's still pretty fun, and it's like still like Dan Trachtenberg is a pretty like clever writer, and like I don't know, it's just like the movie moves at a fast pace. I don't think it's that long. Maybe it's 1 hour 40, and just like Elle Fanning's a lot of fun, and the main character is a predator, so it feels at least a little unique.
Oh, nice. What
kind of predator?
Just a little pipsqueak predator. Yeah. He's a Jeffrey Epstein type, yeah, or at least Mark Epstein, just adjacent. But
small bean predator.
Yeah, small bean predator. But yeah, you get a little predator lore, and there's like. Weyland Yutani from Alien, which is going to be probably mentioned at some point in this episode, is in it. So it's nice seeing like a little subtle alien stuff and not, you know, they're not like Ripley, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, just little nod.
Yeah, not over the top.
Yeah, so.
Over the top.
Over the top, lads.
But do they play the song Badlands by Bruce Springsteen?
No, they probably do in that Bruce Springsteen movie, though. Because I think.
The one with Jeremy Allen,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I heard in that movie he like
a lot of songs.
He like there's a scene literally in the movie where he's like watching the movie Badlands, which is like a '70s Terrence Malick movie, and then yeah, I think
like,
that's
wow, that'd be a good idea for a song.
Exactly, it's like a very like Dewey Cox Walk Hard moment. It's like I I've heard that movie's not very good. and I'll just say yeah, the other movie I saw last weekend was Running Man, Edgar Wright. Which I was honestly a little disappointed with. I know some people like it.
I heard it was bad.
Okay, all right. I'm glad I'm not the only
this
one.
Is what I heard.
Our theater was like not digging it. I feel like I was like nobody's laughing, and it was pretty full. It was at Alamo, so like people are usually game, but yeah.
Mm.
It's not yeah. Terrible. It's like it's fast paced. It's pretty violent. You know, it's kind of.
What's too bad? Feels like yeah. it had potential.
Yeah, and like yeah. Glenn Powell's kind of like miscast. Like his character is supposed to be like super angry all the time, but like you just don't really buy it from him.
Super angry? That's weird.
Yeah, it was like, and Josh Brolin's in it, and I was kind of thinking, like, oh, this could be like work for Josh Brolin if he's a little bit younger, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it's like.
Well, it's just another unnecessary remake.
I am a fan of the original. I know nobody. I think it's like people see it as ironically bad, but I don't know.
I wouldn't say.
Hello.
I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I thought it was decent. The original. Oh jeez, yes. They're so far away.
All right, so can we get into Alien Earth so we can finish it sometime this century?
Yeah.
I suppose.
Okay, so the beginning, I actually really like this episode, so I take a lot of notes. So the beginning, there's a new alien, and he's reading from Peter Pan again, and he says, when you turn two, that's the beginning of the end. Dun-dun-dun.
You're aware of growing up, and then you're not going to be a kid forever. And
yeah. But also, it's like, but I'm also like, but there's also two aliens. Uh-huh.
What?
There's two aliens. There's one alien. Oh, okay. Xenomorphs.
Okay.
If you want to get technical.
There's baby and adult.
Watch out, Rob.
Oh, God.
What's
watch out. Wow. Yeah, it is.
So yeah, so two is the beginning of the end is a good start. And then there's a conversation with the brother where he still thinks he can be a family with Marcy. And he gets kind of put in his place.
Who's Marcy? Is that the girl?
Yes, Wendy.
That's Wendy. Yeah.
It's Wendy's dead name.
Well, okay. Well, no. Replacement name coming back.
Yeah, she's taking it back, yeah. Yeah, and right, they say yeah, once again...
She's so great. She's like a Mary Sue, right? She's like so exceptional. She's incredible. She'll take us to the stars. We love her, right?
Well, they're like, I mean, more like they're like, she's Weyland Yutani property. So you can't just walk away into the sunset with her. Which is great because it sets up the conflict later of he's feeling like he has to escape.
Well, she like probably that. Does cost, like, what do you estimate? Like $500 billion? Like,
yeah. But they also have a bunch more. They could spare
way
one.
Way more. Considering that they
he
were...
He deserves happiness. Yeah.
Considering how much they were going to get for just the aliens, like, carcass. What was it? $20 billion? I feel like Marcy is definitely worth way more than that. Because it's brand new tech that no one has ever experienced and no one knows about. At least people know about Xenomorphs. And they're willing to pay $20 billion for that. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so Bruce leaves your family. So next we have Nibs. Nibs has all this trauma from...
Is that the redhead? You
know, yeah, the redhead girl. Yeah, they're like, okay, we got... Yeah.
The wannabe mommy? So, okay.
The wannabe mommy. She thinks she... She's to pregnant. Avoid her trauma, wants to be pregnant. Wants to create life, not take it.
So she's crazy. She's a radical.
Yeah.
And then, so the corporation has an idea. We could reset her memory. Wow, what a good twist, I thought. What a good plot development / moral conflict.
Good moral conflict. I don't know about... Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I haven't been watching this show, but it doesn't seem like it's that much of a moral conflict. Like, is she come with some kind of robot?
So
no, she's not a robot. She's a real person. Sorry, go ahead, Jay.
Oh.
So she is a robot, but she has the memories and the personality brought to her from... I mean, she's a Marcy, so she was a kid who was given a synthetic body.
Yeah. So it's also a little bit like of a Black Mirror thing. Like, is it really Marcy, or is it just a machine that thinks it's Marcy?
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, I thought the brunette was Marcy.
Yeah, no, so same idea. So it's the same type of being. They took a kid, they sucked up their brain and transferred it to this new body. The synthetic body. So by erasing their memories, are they erased? Like, it's not something you could do in the child. And is it morally right to manipulate a child in that type of manner? And just because they're property, they have no autonomy. And
they can just change their memories if they want. Okay.
So they didn't know initially. No one said that they knew until... until this quandary happened, and then they're like, oh yeah, we can do this, and like the technician was like, no, we do not do this, and then everyone else was like, you can, and then the psychiatrist was like, the psychiatrist of all people was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, she was scared like for her life with the little ginger girl, so
yeah, Chun-Li's fried me.
Yeah, so
Ginger girl almost killed her.
Yeah.
So it's the moral boundaries of what are they, and like, yes, the potential of this this synthetic being murdering everybody because they go haywire is a thing, but like, what does that mean? And like, considering it's their fault for not like really guiding Nibs, like I feel like the psychiatrist felt obviously like a little bit guilty and needing to do this to fix their own problem.
Well, I mean, one of the things I liked about the moral dilemma is it is a moral dilemma. I thought the people in favor of the memory wipe made some good points where they were like, she's in pain and we could help her.
You know? But she really wasn't in pain. She was just going through an episode. Their fear is that they will then go, Nibs will then will go out and hurt others because she's already basically has tried to take out the psychiatrist. So that's the fear. They're overcompensating for their own issues. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, there's also,
their fear. What's it called when you project? They're projecting. That's what it is.
Well, I also like when they said, oh, she has to be in front of like a crowd to sell the product in a week or something like that. So we need her to be normal.
Yeah.
So this is also the first time we hear that, they are going to be unveiled as a real product. Like an authentic product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like that, like, they kind of don't really, it doesn't really come up later, but like they do mention also they're like lower her stimulus. So like, kind of like she just like almost reacts to things too dramatically and like, you know, just kind of, they're just going to numb her to like everything. Yeah, medication. That's kind of medicated. Yeah.
Well, no. So they were going to medicate her this time around after they wipe her so she doesn't, because they feel like they misjudge how much, because they based it off of Marcy's initial settings, and that's when they talk about their kids. This is all we don't know. We didn't know. We just based it off of this initial, like this success. We knew she already was kind of had issues to begin with before we took them in, and that's kind of the whole point of why we did it. Is because they're broken. And that, so yeah, we'll just numb her. We'll just put her on all the meds that we put kids on today.
Yeah, I also like the implication they have been messing with the kids' minds the whole time. They just didn't talk about it. And how much did they do it? How much?
Apparently not enough.
Yeah.
Kids' minds are already pretty volatile, so it's God knows how much they actually did. Yeah.
Which is, I think, the other big thing about that whole conversation is, morally, we're obligated to do this.
Morally, we're obligated not to. So, was anyone else reminded of Identity Crisis when Zatanna mind wipes Batman?
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
I can see that.
You were. Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
You?
Just me. You. Just me, baby. Just me.
Did we talk about the end of Peacemaker on this show yet?
Peacemaker 1?
Yeah. No, Peacemaker 2.
Oh, we haven't even talked about Peacemaker 2.
Oh, it was great. Sorry.
I heard it was a little controversial.
I liked it.
I didn't watch it in case we ended up watching it for the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
It wasn't as good as 1, but it was pretty good. All right, sorry. Wow. So, can we jump ahead? I like the part where they do like the trial, I guess, like the deposition between the boy genius and the Weyland-Yutani lady.
Yeah, that's a bit of a skip. Before we get to that, really quickly, they have a conversation about how Marcy can talk to the aliens, and they're both way too calm about it. She's like, "I can talk to the killing machines," and he's like, "Wow, really? What's that like?" Also, what did they even talk about? With the aliens. Like, what did she say?
And she's like, "No, thank you. I want to eat your species."
Little baby. You're a little baby. Wow. Isn't this world crazy?
Like, is it actually saying, "I want to go home"? Or, like, does she's making it sound like that, but I assume it doesn't know it's where the hell it is.
I mean, yeah, it's still an animal, right? Like, it's intelligent, but not that intelligent, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, we don't know how intelligent the xenomorphs are, and especially this type of xenomorph. We don't know because it has a different experience than all the other ones.
So does it see the queen as its like mommy? Like, is it kind of like, "Where's my mom at?"
That's kind of. I feel like it might end up being like kind of like the hybrid, maybe because Marcy can communicate with it. Maybe it'll think Marcy.
I mean, I do enjoy that they have finally, like, because I feel like the Alien series has never done like the transition from chest burster to like full grown xenomorph, and it's always, it just cuts right to the end part, and it's weird to see like a teenager xenomorph, a toddler xenomorph. Like,
I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they might have done it at some point, but well, they had a little. Well, what about the thing? That's the chest burster you said. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, there's the dog burster from Alien 3, but that's like, it just looks small, but it's just because it's coming out of a different creature. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so the arbitration with Yutani, they talk about who is going to investigate the crash, and they're both biased.
Of course.
Their own way.
He's
like, I'm not going to let you investigate your own crash, but it's like, as opposed to him, he has a vested interest.
So does she.
There's no, like, police in this world? Zach, you're almost
no,
dead.
No, it's the Council of Five.
Yeah. They police one another.
Oh, there's like the five big corporations or something?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the Council of Five. So all five major corporations have a representative in the council who can then.
And Weyland Yutani isn't one of the five, or it is?
They
one
are.
Of the five?
They are. They are. So it, they are both. Two. They're two of the five.
Okay, mm-hmm. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should get out of here.
Why they need and. Third party arbitrarian.
So, how do we feel about Cavalier in this part? Would we find him insufferable douche or?
Which one's Cavalier? The boy genius?
The boy genius. He puts his toes up on the table, which is.
Yeah, of course he's an insufferable douche. This is not the point.
But I also thought he did a pretty good job outwitting everybody else, which I thought was pretty impressive. Yeah. Yeah.
They jumped over.
Behind.
Come
on for him.
I do wonder if he's one of the smaller, like, giant corporations, so to speak.
I feel like he's probably one of the newer ones.
Yeah.
He has new money.
His name is Prodigy.
They mentioned bank accounts, and then she's like, well, I'd love to compare mine to yours. Like, I guess Yutani's maybe number one, if I had to guess.
Yeah, probably. Or at least top three. Easily.
I would say, yeah, top three.
I mean, they've been around the longest, probably. I think, yeah. And lore-wise, yeah, they probably, I think they've been around the longest.
It is interesting, like, in Alien, they call the company as if maybe it's, like, the only company, but yeah, it's just, but that's set 2 years later, so clearly I don't think Yutani takes over everything in 2 years, so I don't know. Maybe they just call it the company because it's their company.
Yeah, so I like the part where he's like, oh yeah, you can have the aliens, totally, after the quarantine's over, of course.
He's like, what? She doesn't play it very cool, like, for, like, a corporate suit.
I don't think she's ever had to.
Well, yeah, right.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on, Jay, let's go.
So they talk a little bit, and she says, I found the aliens, they belong to me. And Cavalier says, well, they're living creatures. I don't think they belong to anyone. Which, do you think is supposed to be intentionally a joke, or he's just that ridiculous?
No, it's a joke. He's messing with her.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, it's him being tongue-in-cheek about what he's doing.
Enemies below.
Everybody out.
So, yeah, because it's like he literally owns people. That's the aliens. Cavalier, that's
true.
Is.
Yeah.
They're kids,
yeah.
And don't parents kind of own kids in a weird way? Come on.
No.
I think you could argue that.
No. What?
I'm just messing. I don't know.
I'm responsible for them. Okay, so Morrow.
He wins the arbitration, basically. What? Yeah, Morrow, the guy from the other episode, is there. What's the deal with Timothy Oliphant?
He is a cyborg above us.
Above, Morrow doesn't reveal that Cavalier caused the crash.
Okay.
Right?
Is that weird?
No, he does. He does.
He doesn't reveal it at the arbitration, though.
No. But he's already told Weyland.
Wait, Cavalier caused the crash?
Yeah, yeah,
he's
was in the
one
last
who
episode.
Hired the engineer. He bribed the engineer.
The saboteur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that. Oh, yeah. He was talking to that person. Yeah, thank you.
But then, okay, Jay, why didn't he reveal it at the...
behind you, Rob?
Because it doesn't really do anything, does it?
I mean, of course it does something. It changes it completely.
Not really. And in this type... I mean, I feel like they probably are used to that type of sabotage. It doesn't... Because they kind of already go through it to a degree. Mm-hmm. Where they're talking about...
it's going undercover work.
Where it basically comes down to was like, yeah, we did this and it makes no difference how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? On top of the church.
We're fighting we should get out of here. We're fighting like multiple teams.
Yeah, we're calling a crossfire. Get undercover, guys.
Get to the bus. To the bus.
Okay.
So yeah, so like, I mean, it's also something to keep in your back pocket, right? You don't want to throw everything out. And the arbiter doesn't really give a shit about that.
Well, yeah. He's just trying to figure out a way for them all to get along.
I like when he's like, you weren't going to bring an alien species in contradiction of Earth's laws, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right? That was fine.
Right. Okay, so Moore suggests that the new plan is to stabilize the facility and then in the confusion, run away with the specimens.
Yeah.
Which I find that very amusing. It reminded the part in the comic book Hitman where they're like, Hey Tommy, do you remember how in the movies they say in the confusion we'll kill Darth Vader and blow up the Death Star? They can do that because that's a movie. All right, too deep of a cut. I get it.
I also like he says, like, we'll exfil in the chaos. I'm like, oh, exfil, that's a word.
It's going to get you.
More.
It's going to get you.
Yeah.
Taking fire.
Incoming.
Oh, God.
So, okay. And then, so the next thing we learn, Morrow is a serial killer. I thought he was kind of sympathetic, almost the main character before that.
Serial killer.
Yeah, he's like, you know the best part about killing synths? Watching them learn they're not human. Crazy.
Watching them choke on their own blood.
Yeah, but we don't... or is
the
that
robots,
just...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, one and two, is it just things people say to synths?
What?
At this point. Right, no, I mean...
The most depressed.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not real people, yeah, people just say stereotyping racial bad things to people.
Got one coming in. Afraid of something.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Same thing like Kirsch says back, like, it's not like, it doesn't have to be like their true experience. It's just.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a poor Amoro and Timothy Oliphant like threaten each other.
What's the deal with the Timothy Oliphant character? Is he a synth too?
Yeah, he's a full synth. He's a full synth.
Okay.
But he's also doing strange things that we don't fully understand because he's
Which I wanted to talk about next.
Because he's supposed to be working for the Boy Genius, but at the same time, he doesn't tell them when like all the aliens are coming out.
Yeah,
he keeps it to himself for his own agenda.
And he's training, and he's also adding little quips for Wendy to think about, like talking about how people don't trust the robots and like how you shouldn't. Maybe it's time that robots take over.
Let's go, guys. Run to the circle. Else we're going to get killed.
So like Marcy is now like quoting. Marcy's now quoting Kirsch of saying, why should we listen to you? All you squishies.
Jay, stick with us.
No, you stick with me.
No.
Okay, so they do the memory wipe ultimately, and it immediately fails in the very next scene, as I think everyone could have seen coming. Except for the people who did it.
Fail. Wendy's just Wendy.
Well, no, I mean, Jed, how long do you think it would have taken Marcy, or what's her name? Retta? Nibs. How long would it take Nibs to talk to somebody and have them and put two and two together? I mean, really. So she learns. Yeah, she's Rob's like, someone messed Rob. With my memory. Who could it be?
Well, she doesn't even fully know. I mean, Marcy kind of kept it on the DL, like, understands what's happening, and I feel like doesn't want to traumatize her more. So doesn't say anything about it.
So, okay, there's a conversation with the two boys who are funny, where they're like, being grown up sucks. We have all these responsibilities now.
Yeah, what's the deal with the Indian guy?
He's one of the kids.
Well, he's also got Moro in his head.
Oh, he ain't no kid.
He is a
kid. Well, he was.
Zach, it's just us. Be most...
Well,
I'll have to kill me. More mature. Now it's just you.
Ah, shit. Is one behind?
I think, isn't he the youngest, too?
Yeah, you're heading right for him. He's only going to have that donut on your left.
I was wondering, because, like, he Smee acts the most goofy and childish.
Mm-hmm.
And
Smee.
Oh, wait, no, it is Smee. I think Smee is 11, I think. He's 12. And then Marcy's 13, 14. And Nibs was, like, older? Slightly older.
Oh, no, Nibs is the oldest?
I can't remember if Nibs is the oldest or Marcy. They're, like, right there. Like, the other two, is, like, 10 and 11, and then I think it's 12 and 13 are the other two. So they're really close. So they're really young and naive. And the fact that, like, one is family-oriented and one is just, like, not.
I thought Nibs would be a younger one just because maybe the actress was so tiny-looking. But, yeah, I mean, maybe she's just an angry teenager. That's why she's so volatile.
Regardless, they're all preteen-aged. Except for Marcy. So they take advantage of the poor kid with the weird, creepy guy in his ear all the time demanding they do stuff or mommy's dearest is going to go bye-bye.
Yeah, right. Arush is like the most sus person in the history of television in this episode.
But I like that Timothy Oliphant's character knows and like keeps letting him do these things, and you're kind of just like, every time it happens, I'm always like, oh, this is the time where Oliphant steps in and stops him. But so far, it has not happened.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to turn out that Kirsch has been hired by another one of the families and is doing these experiments and watching to see weaknesses so he can sell the technology one day.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know. He's such a likable character. I just thought, like, he's doesn't like the boy genius and has ulterior motives to him.
Yeah, well, the boy genius keeps putting him down as just a robot.
He puts everybody down, though.
Did we talk about how I like the part where the guy who got fired is talking to the brother about escaping? And he was like, I can't tell you that. And then come over here and look here about how you can't escape. And then he types it in the computer. That was cool.
The code. Yeah. The only one with like morals. Like true authentic morals. Talking to the other one who has semi morals.
Also, and like their computers are so antiquated they can't track what, you know, he's typing. Like, I feel like if you worked at like Amazon now, I'm sure Jeff Bezos would know exactly what you're
talking
about. I mean, Microsoft Team tracks everybody, so.
Yeah, only if you know to look for it, though.
Right.
Right.
True.
What?
If you know
only if someone knows to look for it, yeah. So anyway.
But I mean, that was bound to happen.
Yeah. Arush is really sketchy. They go on a patrol. The brother goes on a patrol, and one of it's with the same search and rescue people from the beginning, right? Like, I guess they're working for Cavalier now.
Well, no. The same search and rescue team that they all worked for, the boy genius.
Oh, but now they're stationed on site.
Yeah. Remember, he asked for his team and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Jujutsu Kaisen, get over here!
Which is different than security, I guess. Yeah, they're like just the soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the part where someone's like, "Hey, don't, we got a good thing going here. Don't mess with the money. Or make your money."
I like they can immediately see through them too. They're just like we know exactly what you're trying to do with this talk about boats and stuff.
Yeah, that was finally a TV show. The characters aren't like totally brain dead. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So the lab guy wants to be alone. The other kid, not Arush, but the other kid who for some reason wants to work in the lab by himself, but then screws up and gets Isaac. Killed by the aliens.
He's like, I can do it all by myself. I don't need your help.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the reason?
Because he's a scientist. He's the scientist kid.
Mm. So he's like, that's what I want to do.
Well, he wants to just feel. He's just.
There's a bunch of people over here near me.
He just wants to feel good and productive.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Then he was dumb.
Yeah, so he gets confronted by a very CGI looking alien.
God damn it.
Which kills him. So that was kind of shocking, right?
Yeah.
First, kid death, so to speak. Yeah.
Turns out they're not indestructible bodies. And then Marcy confronts the scientist and they're like, do we stop the human emotions? It's like Star Trek. Emotions are what makes us who we are.
And so the sheep is the one that causes the guy to get killed, right? Because he rams the door at just the right moment.
Yeah.
The sheep, I think, is smart.
Obviously. Yeah,
so
it's from the previous episode.
Yes,
it's like condescendingly looking at them. Yeah,
I don't know if it's super smart, but it's intelligent enough to set a trap.
It's extremely observant and intelligent enough to start make basic. And we see it in previous episodes where, like, it's piecing together what's happening. It's all observant and like it's making the connections and making things happen. Like. Waits for the little bloodsuckers to do their thing, and then manipulates other situations. Like it's a manipulator. It's very
It's like the Lex Luthor, like maniacal one. Yeah,
it's very interesting to see because I was expecting it to do something else, like try to get out on their own. But then, nah, they're more than happy to watch the chaos. They're like, hey, that was funny.
You know, let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there's the scene where Arthur is leaving and Matt's at where he's hiding his computer. But he says, don't worry about me. I have 6 degrees of separation. But I'm kind of like, he has 6 degrees, but Prodigy doesn't like him. So how is he going to get another job?
Right? Work for he got fired. So yeah, work for another corporation.
Yeah.
But the other corporations are like...
Well, he said 6 degrees. Not
maybe he means he has a lot of education.
No, yeah, he just
literally.
He didn't say of separation though. Yeah.
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 He
no,
literally
that was
just
me joking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 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 I got you.
Zach's I thought everyone got a whole another level.
Yeah. Yeah. You're playing chess. I'm playing checkers. All right. Fair enough.
who's hosting the Dominion game?
Not
you.
No, I'm not. I don't know how. Zach, you do it. You have experience.
I'll do it. Okay. I'll all do right. It.
Okay, so
this whole section is like fun to watch. Like we see all the little factions and all the little pieces coming together to make this one chaotic mess happen. We see what Kirsch is doing and observing, sending Isaac in, and then what Matt watching from afar. Because in theory, Kirsch could have just been like, "Hey, dickhead." Turn around. could have spoken directly to him as Isaac was doing the things and screwing up, right? And could have called in at any other time. So you get that. Then you get... I mean, I'm glad it didn't end up being the brother that gets face-hugged. But, so that was interesting. And then, all the little bugs are just the right bugs to do the craziness. And I did not realize the bloodsuckers turned into metal suckers. What?
Like they could also do it to sense.
No, no, they specifically only go. They converted into just eating metal. I don't know if it's a different species completely or if it was the bloodsuckers that transitioned into that. But these are the ones that Isaac is bringing just metallic device pieces into the room. So these are strictly inorganic material eaters. Fascinating. Yeah.
Though it does kind of depend on like the characters doing somewhat dumb actions, not like Prometheus level dumb, but just, you know, they're kind of like, oh, I got trapped in this like room now because I got scared for a second. And then like even more egregiously, like the adult, you know, human scientist, the husband, he just like arbitrarily like, oh, someone's not doing well. Let me just like try to awkwardly pull him out while there's a dangerous creature in there.
Yeah, so the one thing you do with the dangerous creature is you don't open the door. You don't break the quarantine, but they always do.
I wonder why do they ever answer why the door to the feeding like trough broke off? Because that's what causes him to open the door and go into the room. Mm. Are they ever right. Like, did the aliens do that somehow?
No, I think it's just the fact that it got jammed in. Isaac just is strong and just and doesn't know his own strength, really. I mean, their kids don't really know their strength. The real question is whether or not Kirsch set that up.
That's what I was wondering, if Kirsch maybe did it.
Like, weakened it?
Kirsch.
But I can't imagine them, like, it's kind of like awkward explanation, like, two episodes later, he's like, by the way, I was the one that loosened that up.
So, yeah, I don't think they're going to get back to it.
No.
Okay. Because it seems, I don't know.
Sus?
It just seems...
I mean, the whole thing is sus.
It seems convenient. I guess the sheep could have done a crime of opportunity. The other thing I was going to say was that maybe it's because of watching these two in a row, but I feel like every alien property every alien story is the same. Humans put a bunch of aliens in a like container and then you just wait for it to break down and kill them all. Like, it's like that's two episodes in a row now where it's the same thing happens.
That's true. It's not every alien's property though.
It's pretty close to it.
Well, I mean, in Alien 1, it was never in a box. Same with the aliens.
Good point, dude.
And Alien
Thanks, 3. Buddy. Yeah.
Alien Resurrection, so, they break out.
So you could argue it's just the show.
Okay. Yeah. Yep, so the Indian guy lets the nice guy get killed.
Right.
And then goes into the room after him, which seems super dumb.
Yeah, everyone's dumb.
You know? Crazy dumb.
Yeah, I like that everybody uses the old phone. Somebody uses an old phone that's like attached to a wall.
Yeah. Daddy scientist. The technician. Whatever his name is.
I don't know anybody's
to
name.
To call into security. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense that he would be the one who goes in and really wants to save Isaac, because, I mean, they are his children, basically. So, I mean, it only makes sense that...
Well, he does what's right, yeah. You know? So you see someone in trouble, you go help them, usually.
Yeah. Okay, so he gets faced, and then Kirsch covers it up, or at least he doesn't talk about it. So then I have a note, this is turning into Half-Life. The video game.
A little bit.
The video game. It's like people and scientists in a facility and then aliens attack. And then finally a little screen can apparently stop those metal eating bug aliens.
That's right.
Well, they get startled.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Maybe it's more like out of sight, out of mind, you know.
Got bored.
Right. You know,
the episode. I thought it was a good episode.
I thought it was good too. I think I'm coming in at the right time, right when the slow burn is becoming actual action.
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
Yeah.
Just two episodes left, and there's shorter ones, I noticed. So, yeah. I assume it'll be
like a
fast-ish action ending. Yeah. I think so. Yes. I think it's episode 7 and 8 and we're just left.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you guys want to have a pool about whether or not Alana will be back next week?
No.
I'm gonna say no.
I'm just saying no. That seems like an easy win here.
Yeah,
it'll be a week. You know, take it from me. The appeal will be worn off by then.
You've been pregnant before. I forgot. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. All right. Anything else to say about Alien Earth, or are we ready to move on to questions of the day?
This episode had me on the edge of my seat. It was good. It's been fun. I'm excited to see what else happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really well written, fun. Yeah. Like, and it feels distinct enough from like the Alien series. Like, it's definitely got its own. I don't know Noah Hawley that well, but it's got a different vibe.
It's you guys saw it was renewed for season two.
Yeah.
I think it did. Yeah.
No, I didn't. That's cool.
Yeah. It's true. Cool. All right. Questions of the day.
Yes, sure. Please do.
Okay. Do. Ta da 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 da.
Da.
Crossing off things on my to-do list. Question number one. What is one way you are like and one way you are not like your parents?
Oh, jeez.
I'm Asian and I'm alive.
Oh, God.
Come on, Jay.
Oh,
poor I'm just saying.
One of those kind of nights.
I meant more like personality. I meant more like personality wise. I think you know that.
Okay, so one way I don't like my parents is that I'm very high energy and like to keep busy. I think my wife would agree. And one way I am not like my parents is I play video games.
Dad used to play video games.
Yeah, he used to.
Oh, get wrecked, nerd!
He used to, but not anymore.
Well, someday you will use to,
too. Was he playing Myst? What was he playing?
Centipede.
He used to play Centipede. That was his game.
Okay.
That was his game. Yeah.
That's a good game. All right.
Yeah. Mom would say he would go to the arcade to, quote, relax, and then come back totally wired.
Like shaking.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Well, one way I'm like is I'm like my dad in that I'm like a neat freak. Sorry, Dad, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And one way I'm not like, I don't know. I guess I don't really like to travel.
No.
Yeah. Is that fair? Is that fair to say? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's probably
they
fair.
Like to travel, and I'm okay. I'm
you
fine.
Take it or leave it.
I feel like it's kind of like the alcoholism gene where I'm just waiting for one day to wake up and be like, I have to go to Ethiopia. I feel a compelling need to travel to Taiwan.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe it's your midlife crisis.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You know what? I shouldn't have done this one now because I wanted to hear Alana's answer.
It's still
the difference or the similarity? In one or
you know, both.
Why not both?
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Why not both?
I would say, I don't know. It's hard to tell with your parents, but I got the vibe they didn't really care about working that much, even though they both did to some degree. But I had that same vibe, and I'm not really all about the.
I mean, that's now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Dad worked a lot. Yeah.
No, he's talking about Rob's talking about his own parents, Zach. Jesus.
I was talking about Zach's parents as well. I know.
Yeah. But only Zach's, not yours, Matt.
Yeah.
You guys are actually not related. Yeah.
So that's a similarity?
Maybe they were also quiet quitting before I was quiet quitting. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I just got that vibe. But that said, like, I don't know. They're both sailors. That's kind of how, like, I feel like they jived together when they did jive together. And, yeah, I was never into sailing. They forced me to go to sailing camp for a couple summers, and I just never was into it. And I was kind of resentful of the fact I was forced to go to sailing camp. For real first world problems here. But
yeah
I was not.
I had to play polo at the club. Yeah, exactly.
You don't know my struggles. I got nothing here. But yeah. You know, I think they're just also more sporty. So I guess there was a bit of disappointment when there's like a kid playing Sega Genesis all the time. But, you know, I think they got over it.
You get over it.
Okay.
My real answer is Probably. The charismatic, welcoming, able to bring people in pretty easy. That I get from my mom. And I guess the flirtiness that my dad does, but I hate that idea. So I'm going to go with the athleticism that my dad has. Because that sounds way better than everything else.
As a similarity.
Yeah. And the dissimilarity is the fact that I have a conscience, unlike my father.
Okay, Jay works through his father issues every day on this podcast.
I do. Thank you for being my therapy.
You're welcome. That's what we're here for.
All right. Question number two.
Yes.
But I thought we went like through 10 questions right there, but yeah, that was an emotional journey.
Yep, that's right. We're unpacking stuff. I have another one. I wonder when Alana's going to be back. Like, Alana and I have literally not overlapped in a long time.
Hey.
Oh, Rob.
When Alana's not here, I do okay.
Yeah, I had all these good ones for Alana. All right, we'll do that one later. All right, our next one comes to us courtesy of Zach. What is your least favorite moment from Star Wars original trilogy? Zach, I'm changing it to original trilogy because if it's the other stuff, we're going to be here all day.
Wait, say that question again.
What is your least favorite moment from original trilogy Star Wars? I didn't think about an answer for this. So I'm going to have to think about it.
Least favorite.
And to make it really interesting, you can't do the special edition.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. Because otherwise it'd be the Jabba the Hutt scene in episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I would not pick that.
That's a no-brainer. Yes, you would, Rob. Stop lying to yourself.
No, I already have a moment. And I have a moment that's only in the original that I'm kind of thinking of, actually.
Well, Greedo shooting first. There's just too many good options.
All right, go ahead, Rob. What do you got?
I honestly, I did grow up on the special edition because that's the first version I saw, so that's kind of my standard, strangely enough. But so yeah, when I go back to the originals, at the very end, Return of the Jedi, they have the big moments, and I just need to buy something, and yeah, they have this big spectacular moment, and they just had the Ewok theme, which I know some people love, I guess, but
yeah,
it doesn't feel as big as epic as the end to a trilogy. And so then yeah, exactly.
Yup.
And then so John Williams is well, what if I had this beautiful orchestral celebration that really tied everything together? And I was so that's my standard. And so when I went back to the original, it's kind of just this doesn't have quite the same impact.
Yeah, but at least the original doesn't have Wisa Free.
Yeah, that's true. But it also has Coruscant, celebration, which just looks really nice visually. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, if we can't say special edition, which is the scene with Jabba the Hutt, I'll go with the part that I didn't like the most when I was a kid, and it's the part where the Jawa jumps out and zaps R2-D2. That always made me jump, but I didn't like it. It made me scared. So. Why you gotta do that, George? It's not a horror movie.
That is a scary scene. Yeah, he's all alone.
Yeah, poor little guy.
Let's see. Mine is that Chewbacca didn't get a medal.
Does that really bother you, Jay?
Racism.
Or is it just the meme?
It's speciesism.
Racism, speciesism, it's bullshit.
He just sat next to Han Solo and did whatever Han told him to do.
Yeah.
How dare you? If it weren't for Chewie, that ship would never be flying.
The Rebels don't have a lot of money. They can't afford 3 medals.
Chewie literally did not participate in the Battle of Yavin.
Well, if you want to hear bullshit, why didn't Leia get a medal? She almost died.
She was the one who got rescued.
Congrats,
yeah.
She got rescued.
Yeah, you can't get a medal for being rescued.
But it was whole her plan. Sort of.
What?
I mean, kind of. I don't know. She's a part of it. It's only because of her that the whole thing happened.
Why didn't the droids get medals?
Yeah, well, that, I mean, we know why. People hate droids.
Robots.
Yeah.
They're servants. Yeah, that's true. Okay, was that everybody?
Wait, I didn't have one. I don't like the Jabba's palace, like, kind of in general, just because it goes on way, way too long. It's such a dull way to start Return of the Jedi. But I think if I have to be, like, more specific, like, if I had to pick, like, an actual moment, that's a little harder. I'm going to say Jabba saying, "Soon you will learn to appreciate me." To laugh.
Yeah, that was pretty messed up.
I don't like that.
Yeah. I'll also say Harrison Ford's performance in Return of the Jedi, where he just seems like he's really disinterested in hamming it up and, like, oof.
He, like, doesn't care.
Not for me. Yeah. Maybe I'm projecting. I don't know.
No, it's fair.
I've seen worse. Rob, have you seen The Frisco Kid?
No, I want to see that. Is it any good?
I would say mixed, but Harrison Ford actually acts in it. So that's kind of cool. You don't see that every day.
In the sense that he doesn't just play himself.
Yeah, and that he smiles and emotes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The movie itself is, like, okay, but I think it's worth seeing just for that.
Yeah, early Harrison Ford when he cared.
Yeah. That's right. All right, and question number three.
Mm-hmm.
What game do you want to be the best of your friends at?
Wait, what?
Maybe video game or board game, I guess.
Yeah.
Any kind of game.
Oh, game of life. All right.
Should we do board game edition? And then next time we'll do video game edition?
I'm just going to pick pool.
Okay. That's not really a board game, but okay.
It's a game. I say pool, because that way I can make money out of it.
All right, then I'm going to one-up you and say poker.
Okay. Poker is luck involved, sort of.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's true. I guess that's true. The also, if they're your friends, they're not going to want to play for you for money too much, because if you always win...
Well, right. No, I'm not saying I would play against the friends. I'm saying if I'm better than the friends at pool, I must be pretty darn good at it.
I mean, your friends could just be bad at pool.
That is possible, true. Right.
Yeah. I know I'm pretty bad at pool. Like, if you said you were the best in your family at pool, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Out of my friends? Be the best out of my friends.
Actually, I'll change my answer to Egyptian Rat Screw.
What?
Yeah, I like that game. And it's like, woo, reflexes. Speed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, I don't like being the best.
We know. We talked about this already, how you let people win to maintain their interest.
Yeah, it's just...
We appreciate it. I usually lose anyway, though.
Boyfriend.
Rob, do you have an answer? Jay's thinking.
No, I was like, the only thing I think, I was like, well, I wish I'd be better at Russian roulette, because, you know, I don't want to die.
Oh, my God. You guys.
That's a legitimate answer. I like that answer.
No, I'm still thinking.
I like that answer. That's a pretty good answer.
I like the idea of poker, because if I'm better at poker, then maybe I can transition that to, like, you know, the World Series of Poker, and you know, I'm going against Ben Affleck and all these legends.
Yeah. Jennifer Tilly.
Is she one of those? Okay, I didn't know that.
Are they that good, or are they just famous?
No, they're good.
Okay.
I just know Ben Affleck got caught counting cards, and he got, like, in trouble at a casino. And I think he thought he'd get away with it because he was, like, famous. But no.
He's Ben Affleck, though. He's like a joke.
Wow. That's rude.
Come on. He was Batman.
I'll be the best at... at Uno. Yeah, who hasn't been badass, man?
Oh shit, I bought 3 centuries? What was I thinking?
What were you thinking?
I don't know. What an idiot.
I'm going to be the best at D&D.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Or Uno.
What about like chess? What if you're really good at chess?
I'm decent at chess.
Okay. That's a good game I feel like to be good at.
But who's playing chess?
My son likes to play chess every once in a while.
I bet
Andrew would play chess with you if you asked.
I'd play Go, but the really good player passed away, so that doesn't mean anything anymore. Yeah, no, I'm gonna stick with my answer.
Cool. All right, anything else, guys? Or I think that's everything.
Was that 3?
I think that was 3.
That's 3.
All right, well, thank you for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. You can catch us every week at twitch.tv/MC1
Mostly every week.
Yeah.
Mostly every week.
Mostly every week. And group up with us next time.
Bye.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you, come for the laughs. Come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they play.